WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know that means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Creator Code Rockets like in the Fortnite app shop, because hashtag epic partner. We're not here to talk about a pay-per-view that's ongoing, nor PLE that's happening at the same exact time. Oh no. We're just here to talk about an event that happened this last night on NBC and Peacock, known as Saturday Night's main event. I am the producer, joined, as always, by the intern.
But there's two events going on. We can absolutely talk about them as they're going on, right?
Yeah. We could.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. We'll see. The intern has tomorrow off, right? Matt, how long have you been here?
Am I going into the office tomorrow? No. Am I working from home? Yeah.
So before we introduce Keishi and Tim, do we have an updated number?
Oh God, hang on.
He's going to do the math. This is for people at home can hear the number. Because it's shockingly high. He has to calculate it. So as he's calculating
4,234 days. Tomorrow will be 35.
Want to repeat that for the at-home audience one more time?
That was 4,234. And counting.
We have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I mean, you guys can review the ongoing stuff. I only know what happened yesterday.
I only know what's happening on an NXT show.
I'm watching the show that's about 200 miles up the road from where I am.
Sarah in chat wants to know, Brent, how are you functioning?
I run off of Spite and Powerade.
Attaboy.
Then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that's me. I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Southern Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, of course, we're streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Join everybody in the chat room and say, hey. And everybody in the chat room, I'd like to say, hey. And also, I divorced my wife to be here.
What?
What, you didn't see the sign in the crowd?
Oh.
Meanwhile, Keishi's like, I've known you since 2010? When did you get married?
I have an old text file, or it might have been an audio clip, with Tim just labeling something about his ex-wife. And it had nothing to do about it, but it was just the file he created for something I asked for.
What was the file?
I'll have to search it as we go. But
I remember I created a file and called it my ex-wife, but I don't remember what the file was.
It was probably an audio recording of just a voiceover I needed for something.
Ah.
Yeah, but it was not favorable to your ex-wife. We'll just leave it at that, the name of the file.
It was something nasty.
Yes, but anyway, well, we're not here to talk about that.
My ex-wife was pretty nasty.
There you go.
That's a webcast of its own. We'll get into that some other time.
Some other time, some other day. Subscribe to the OnlyFans to hear all about it. Or the Patreon, something like that. Well, we're here to talk about Saturday Night's Main Event, which we all watched and enjoyed because it was a fun show.
Mm-hmm. I will say there were a lot of ad breaks, though.
Gotta make that money, yo.
Yep. But, like, I mean, probably because I watched it on YouTube, it was just very much like commercial in progress, and it just sat there and sat there, and then if you skip ahead you get YouTube ads.
part of that is YouTube, part of that's 100%. Not necessarily on
them. Yeah, because then they would also like randomly tuck them in like in between the entrances and stuff like that. I'm like, but I just saw ads 10 seconds ago.
Network television.
Gotta love it.
Or Twitch. Twitch does that very, very notoriously.
But no, that's why there were a lot of ads. It was network television. You have to run X amount on next network television. So
right, you have to hit it like every, what, 11 minutes or so often?
Something like that. So that's especially on primetime on NBC. So general impression of the showcase.
Overall, I thought it was really good. The matches were all like fun to watch. I like nothing felt like it overstayed its welcome for specific matches that the internet was angry about. I thought everything was planned out, laid out very well.
What were your general impressions, Tim?
It was watchable. Fairly entertaining. Nothing overly out of the ordinary. One minor surprise, really. And one disappointment.
What was the surprise for you?
Well, okay, two disappointments. One bad, one good. But the small surprise was the return of a formerly injured WWE superstar. And that occurred in the opening match.
It did. Brent will give impressions as we go.
Okay.
But cool. let's talk about the opening match. Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker, CM Punk, Sami Zayn. We'll start with you, Brent. What did you think of this match?
It did what it needed to be. I mean, I don't think anyone was overly shocked with what happened, aside from the surprise that Tim mentioned. The one thing, part of me was sitting there and, you know, like, okay, everyone's starting to make their entrance, and then Punk comes out, and he's wrestling about a third of the match with the shirt on, and I was just like, oh, has Punk reached that point in his career?
How sure?
And then, Punk? No, he just takes it off, like, during the course of the match. I'm like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I thought that, too. I thought that, like, it was like, oh, it's House Show Phil. Like, he's just wearing the shirt.
Yeah, I was like, oh, like... Did you know, he not kind of like lean out for this weekend? Did he have, you know, like Portillo's and decide, you know, I'm going to kind of keep the shirt on for this? No, he was just waiting for a moment. It was fine. But back in, I mean, overall, the match is kind of what we thought. For the most part, CM Punk was trying to get his hands on Seth Rollins. Sammy and Braun kind of kept their thing going on. Sammy played the face in peril for most of the match. And then there was the one spot where it was just like, things are lingering on the outside for a little bit, and Paul gets involved, and you're like, what's going on? And then you see someone just kind of jump the railing in the background, and you're like, what the? Oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. And Bronson just obliterated Phil through the barricade.
No one was expecting
that. Ass.
Yeah, he did. No one was expecting his return. Like, there was no rumors, no nothing.
The thing was, ever since he broke his leg, we were kind of like, okay, like, you know, we haven't heard from him. Cool. And then all of a sudden he appears here, but it helps answer that question of everyone was sitting there going, who's going to be the third member of, you know, Paul's team? Because it looked like it was a 3-on-2 for, you know, the weeks building up to this, and who was going to be the third man? And everyone thought, you know, oh, could it be Sammy turning? Could it be something else? No one thought Bronson. And for a second, I liked the kind of tease where it's like Seth welcomes him with open arms, but Bronson and Braun are both kind of looking at each other like, because they're both essentially the hired heavy. I mean, they did kind of shake hands and have a smile and like, oh, yeah. But moving forward, they, you know, there are seeds planted of like, will these two be able to coexist? And also, I mean, both of them are going to be like, if anyone eats a pin out of this group, it's probably not going to be Seth.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of the perfect fit for a Heyman-led stable, Keish.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they have like Seth as sort of the head guy, and then they've got two younger guys, you know, filling out the team. That
younger heavies. One, yes,
yeah, younger heavies that, you know, both of those guys look at Braun's just speed and intensity and power, and Bronson's speed and intensity and power from. So, I mean, slightly different levels, but like they're both like guys that, you know, you look at them and go, like, okay, there are going to be a lot of dudes that aren't going to want to mess with Seth and his crew. But at the same time, yeah, he's got, you know, Seth's got guys that will take the fall for him when the time comes.
What were your thoughts, Tim?
Well, if they may bastardize the line by Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars IV, A New Hope, what I said last Sunday turned out to be true from a certain point of view. I speculated that CM Punk would have an entanglement with Paul Heyman. Turns out it was Sami Zayn getting his leg tucked. But I was right. CM Punk was basically, for all intents and purposes, taken out, which is kind of what I said, sort of. So I'm giving myself credit. So there, haha.
If it's not the actual people, I don't know if you can give yourself credit for it.
Well, I called what was going to happen. I just got the names wrong.
You get 10% credit for that.
I want 30 because it was 3-on-2.
You get 9% credit for that.
Quit dropping it. You're going the wrong way.
7.5%.
Stop it, Spock. That's a little inside joke. But I enjoyed the match. I was wondering, watching it, is somebody going to show up? Who's going to show up? Is somebody going to show up? He's got somebody showing up. Oh, shit, somebody showed up. Wait a minute, that's Bronson. So that was like pretty much literally me throughout the match to the appearance. It was enjoyable. It did what it needed to do, told the story it was supposed to tell, brought Bronson back, and like you said, there wasn't even a hint anywhere on the interwebs that he was even ready to come back, never mind that he was going to come back. So they did a real bang-up job keeping him under covers, and kudos to them for successfully doing so in this day and age, where practically nothing gets by people. They got this one by him.
They did.
So, and it was, like I said, it was fun and enjoyable. It told the story it needs to tell. And it's, you know, it's getting me hooked into the storyline and what's going to be the future for this new stable of Heyman.
Very much indeed. In a match we did not know what that was happening on the show until the day before, when we all kind of speculated what they would throw in the spot for the women. It was Zelina Vega defending her championship against Chelsea Green.
This was the disappointment, the bad disappointment. Couple of botched moves, and it was a little messy and a little sloppy. And it was honestly, when you posted on Discord, when was that? Just yesterday? No, it was Friday.
No, it was yesterday morning because it was announced on SmackDown.
That's right. Yesterday morning, right before I left the house, I saw it and answered. I think? No, I don't remember. Anyway, I know I answered. I answered incorrectly, but when I saw that was the match, I was thinking, oh, this will be fun and good. And while it may have been kind of fun, it wasn't good. And I hate saying negative stuff. Casey knows this. This was definitely my least favorite match of the night.
Do you agree with him, Cash?
I guess if we're ranking them, you know, like there was some missteps in this match that I did notice. I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy the match and I wasn't disappointed in the match, but I would say more of that is because of like Chelsea Green and how she is playing her character. is like top notch, and you know, full marks for her, like knowing like the role she needs to play as a character in general. And it's like, it's very different from a lot of what other people are doing. So that's very cool to see. I like the character that she's kind of created for herself. Overall, I mean, yeah, I wasn't like super disappointed with the match, but I guess you could say of all the matches in the night, this one had more missteps than the others. And I mean, yeah, Chelsea got her nose busted open the hard way. Hopefully it's not broken. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm as sour on it as Tim is, but I do see why he might be a little sour on it. But I still like the match overall. I thought it was good.
We did have the blame Brent with, I think, apparent broken nose. I think that's official, maybe.
I think so.
What do you think, Brent?
As my colleagues have stated, could the match have been cleaned up a little bit more? Sure. Part of that, I think, could be tied to the fact of when you look at the overall timing of the match, they weren't given a lot. That's the one drawback about the Saturday Night Main Event is it is 2 hours, and with the commercial breaks and with the matches that they had on there, some of them do run a little bit shorter. So I think for this, you know, this could have been something like, okay, we have only got, because it only did go 5 minutes match. Plus you have your entrances. So it's like, okay, maybe it was that idea of like, we have to really get our stuff in. And in doing that, it's rushed and
it didn't
push a little bit more.
I wouldn't say rush. You noticed a couple of spots with Zelina. She kind of pulled up on the 619, and there was the something...
Which led to the issue.
Yeah, which led to the issue, and there were a couple other ones. There was one on the top rope when they were getting set for the finish that you noticed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say rushed. I think it was just... They just fell off.
Yeah. Like Casey said, though, I mean, ultimately, one of the things about Chelsea is, I think even with a broken nose, she can absolutely incorporate that into what she's doing and just make it look like $1 million. That's one of the things that has honestly, I think, surprised a lot of people about Chelsea Green. Was like, when you brought her in, it's like, okay, you know, she's kind of a comedy act. You know that she was going to do she ended up doing the, like the Karen thing to start. And that has since transitioned into this whole like US champion from Canada, kind of like Kevin Owens. And she has her secret Hervis now. It's something that can build, and it's, even if she does have a broken nose, you can still utilize her even in a non-wrestling capacity if you want to save her from having to wrestle with a mask on and get her over. I think Zelina retaining the belt was the better call, because Chelsea's had it for a while when she was the inaugural champion. And honestly, for Zelina's first singles title, you do want to see her get a little bit of a run with it, and you know how much it really means to her, like when she took it to the memorial for her dad.
Yeah.
Like, her retaining the belt gives it a little more, and plus, it kind of frees things up, because Chelsea can do whatever, Zelina can move on to whoever her next competitor is going to be for the U.S. title, and it's like, if she drops it there, cool, if not, then you can feature more women, which is an important thing, and especially because, as was announced this week, the women are going to get their own show again in July.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, Evolution is back.
July.
Because I want to say NXT is running the night before, and then...
No, it's NXT, Saturday Night's Main Event, Evolution.
They're doing a takeover, a full weekend takeover again.
Yep. Mm. To go up against an AEW event, that's just, you know... It's kind of like
because you know tonight's fun. Trying to manage what's going on.
Speaking of tonight, it's weird. The main event of an NXT show is a TNA World Championship match. Just let that sink in.
Let it sink in. But it also, like, it's getting featured, which is a very interesting thing.
I think we're going to get
it. It's not a prop. It's actually like full out being defended.
And I think we're getting an NXT champion, or an NXT wrestler, as a TNA champion here tonight. So we'll see.
Oh, you think Trick's going to take it?
I think Trick's taking it tonight. We'll see. But up next, it was John Cena, R-Truth.
This one's the disappointment in a good way.
Why?
It wasn't damn long enough.
But I think it was exactly as long as it needed to be.
Yeah.
You didn't want a 10 to 15 minute match. You wanted just hit the notes, get it gone.
I wanted 5 more minutes. I was so goddamn entertained with Yeah, you know, the good John Cena called Ron Cena. Little Jimmy, I made the question last Sunday, will we see the reappearance? Kind of we did. I mean, he was mentioned on a sign in the crowd.
That
counts.
No. 0 points awarded for that
count.
One. Nope.
I'll give you 5% credit.
Nope. He doesn't even get that. He gets 0 points. Zero credit for that one.
Wow, producer override on that.
We're overriding at 0-0.
I'm about to get in trouble. Rock, you're so mega.
Anyway, I predicted this, how this exactly would go on Thursday. Truth doing all Cena's moves, which is what happened.
Yep.
The one thing I will say, so the internet is really playing up the whole John Cena is hesitating, and I know the announcers made reference to it, but I don't think it's this crisis of conscience that everyone is making it out to be, simply because of what happened immediately after that spot.
Yeah.
Everyone's sitting there like, oh, Cena didn't want to use the belt. Look, he's hesitant. It's like, yeah, but what did he do? He gave the belt up and then immediately crotched, you know, R-Truth with a kick to the nuts.
Field goal! Yeah,
that hesitation was like 1,000% on purpose.
Yeah. Right. Was it this whole thing of like, oh, Cena doesn't know if he's going to use the belt? No, he gives up the belt because it puts the referee into the corner to, you know, put it away. And what's he going to do when the back's turned? He fucking nuts him. Of course it's all planned. It's not this whole thing of like, oh, you know, he's having this kind of thing. No, eventually, yeah, Cena will probably turn face right before the end of his run, because when he has that going out moment, it's probably going to be a feel-good moment. It's not going to be, you know, a heel Cena flipping the bird as he walks off. But everyone trying to play this, like, quote-unquote long game, or, you know, oh, they're trying to play this up. No, it was used as a heel tactic for a distraction. It's completely within the realm. It's not a crisis of conscience.
Pretty much. What was your overall thoughts on this one, Keish?
Kind of just like, I mean, I am mirroring what Brent said. Like, I think it was, you know, I think it was the length that it needed to be. I do, like, I wouldn't have been mad if it gone a little longer, just to, like, you know, have Truth, like, maybe be like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have, if I have to beat the good John Cena out of you, I will. But I also don't mind that they just did it this way, because, like I said, it didn't need a whole lot more in order to kind of tell the story between Truth and John Cena that was there. So, like, I enjoyed every bit of it. I enjoyed that little swerve of him stopping and then handing off the title in order to, you know, get the low blow in. I thought everything worked out really well.
And John Cena came out with the win. More on John Cena later. Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre inside a 15-foot-high steel cage.
Wait, Rock. That's not the match that really occurred here. Was it the thing that filled out about 12 minutes of TV time? Absolutely. But the real match was between Damian Priest and Jesse Ventura on commentary. We have learned that Jesse Ventura is WWE's Jim Ross. He will just say whatever he wants.
Yeah. He's not WWE's Jim Ross. He's WWE's WWF's Jesse Ventura. He's always said whatever the hell he wanted.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
In the context of, like, not knowing that the rules of a cage match has changed.
Yeah, okay, you got a point. You're not wrong.
No. Yeah, that was interesting.
The match itself was kind of what we thought. Back and forth, hard hitting.
Well, like Casey said.
Two big meaty men using the cage as a meaty man grater.
Yeah.
TM?
TM.
Patent pending.
Yeah, they beat the holy hell out of each other and used the cage to do it.
This is what we all were talking about going into this match, of like, this was going to be the finisher for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Rock, you and Lindsay talked about it on Thursday. It's like, they needed to put a stamp on this. They've gotten about as far as they can, including the, you know, like, random beatdowns that go a little bit crazy. It's like, it had to be in a cage. It had to finish that way. Plus, you heard the rumors of, apparently, Drew can't look left because his neck.
Oh.
Yeah, going into this match, it kind of came out that Drew's having a hard time looking in certain directions, and it's like, they probably need to do something about that.
Yeah, he is planned for a lot of time off.
And, I mean, it's also good for him because Drew does kind of put his body out there for his matches. I'm thinking of that Hell in the Cell with Punk when he took the Claymore into the steel steps. He does kind of sell out for his stuff. So, I mean, one, good on him, but two, by all means, please go heal yourself for the love of God. We want you around. But it was kind of a nice touch to see Damian, like, he was done away with the Claymore into the chair last match, and so it was nice to kind of see a little bit of that callback, but then changing it up and giving Drew the concerto, essentially, to win.
Yeah, I think they did kind of everything that they needed to end this feud, and, like, yeah, that concerto was, like, very much the nail in the coffin.
And the final stamp that you brought up, putting a stamp on this feud, that's exactly what Damian did when he left that cage, the way he left the cage at the end.
Yeah.
Hesitating, looking over his shoulder, looking back at Drew in the ring, looking down, and then finally just solidly planting that foot on the concrete with authority.
Much to the chagrin of Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, Damian.
It's good. It's good to have Jesse back.
It's fun for those appearances on Saturday Night's Main Event. He can just riff and do his shtick. It's good.
He can be Jesse.
He can be Jesse. Yes, Damian Priest walks out victorious. Drew McIntyre apparently is going to be out for a little bit, taking some time off to heal and all the things. So your main event was Jey Uso defending the World Heavyweight Championship against everyone's favorite professional wrestler and sports entertainer, Logan Paul.
Now, Rock, we did have something that happened earlier in the night, though.
What happened?
So, backstage, after Cena's match, he's walking there. By the way, Cena, kudos on doing the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneer throwback shirt for your The Last Time Is Now edition.
If you haven't.
Good job on throwing out the creamsicles.
That was a good touch. You, I hope everyone's picking up on that. This is what he did back in 2002 with his gear, right? We've all kind of picked up on this. Okay.
Yeah. No, I know that he changes it for wherever he goes and all of that.
Yeah, like when he wore the jerseys and stuff.
Yeah. It's a nice the gear for the he had the gear when he first debuted and the jerseys. It's a nice tie-in. Not a lot of people talk about.
It's a throwback. He's finishing the circle. But Cena's walking backstage. And he runs into Jey Uso, and he's talking about the fact that they're both champs, and that, you know, Uso's from a very prestigious family, but essentially there's a lot of pressure on him right now, especially because if he were to drop the belt to, say, a YouTube star, that would be something he'd have to live with, because John's going to walk out with the one title and be the last real champion, and then Jey will have lost the belt to a YouTuber and kind of taints that title. And he would, in fact, ruin wrestling, as was a callback to a couple of weeks ago. So he told them essentially he would see him very soon, which I think all of us kind of went, oh, fuck, we see where this is going. And we did see.
We did, in fact, see cases where things are kind of headed. But thoughts on the match first, Keish?
I mean, it was done well. There weren't. I thought, you know, Logan hit all the beats that he needed to, and like Jey had a few answers for them, like his, you know, the handspring clothesline that was a super kick, and the timing was all done well. I thought they worked very well together. The ending of the match is kind of nice, because I guess if you really want to, later you can have Logan Paul talk about how he never actually lost the match, and maybe get himself another title shot if they want to go that route. But, I mean, yeah, just, I mean, it's a lot of these matches, once again, when you factor in the times that they had for them, it felt very, very much like a Monday Night Raw, but with, like, slightly higher profile matches. So they're all done well with the time that they had, but it didn't quite feel like PLE levels, but it was still entertaining, and I thought they did a good job.
Tim?
The match was entertaining. It did what it needed to do. The best way I can describe the action, Jey and Logan and what we saw, it was very tight, very, very tight. Excuse me. And by that, the execution was practically flawless, from both guys. None of it slopped out. None of it botched. There were no miscues or missteps, really. It was just very entertaining overall. And yeah, maybe not have been PLE level, but if they were able to get another 10 minutes in, then it would have elevated to that, I think. Is that just felt like that's the direction they were going. They were on a mission to entertain the fans, and I got to say, mission accomplished.
There was that split second when John Cena ran out before Cody showed up. I was like, they may actually put the...
Oh, yeah, Cody did show up.
Cody did show up, but there was that split second of, swear, they're going to put the belt on Logan. Cena's there.
Is it wrong that part of me, the Chaos Gremlin, was just like, oh my god, they're going to do this!
They almost did.
One question about the match. Was it announced as a no DQ?
No.
It should have been, because of the way they ended it. There's your nitpick. It should have been an automatic disqualification.
When he pulled the ref out.
Even pulled the ref out of the ring.
We'll use Brent's favorite word there.
God damn it, don't you dare. Not with what's on TV right now. Don't you dare.
Do it.
Referee's discretion.
Bullshit.
Also, whoop that trick as your new TNA.
Oh, they did it.
World's Heavyweight Champion. Yeah, they did it. But yeah, there was a lot of referee's discretion at the end, at the very end. But then the quarterback showed up, or as his shirt said, the captain.
Look, quarterback is a captain too sometimes, okay?
Not always. As we know, Brent, not always.
Not always, but fairly often they end up being like the offensive captain. It's fine. In this situation, it works.
In this situation, it does work for him. He'll get the C planted on his chest or something. Yeah, Jay retained. And then Cody challenged John Cena and the YouTuber, Logan Paul, to a tag match in 2 weeks at Money in the Bank.
Which, when they announced that, I messaged Rock and I said, this is actually a very good move on their part. Because it gives both of your champions something to do without having to come up with their contenders or possibly, you know, put them person to person, which would be essentially a non-title match, and it's just like, all right, do we really want to have Cena versus Uso with no stakes? Because we just had him face off against R-Truth with no stakes. Yeah. But it also pulls Logan Paul and Cody out of the Money in the Bank match, which is good because it means there's a little bit more who's going to win. Because if Cody were to be put in there, I think everyone looks at that and goes, well, they could put the case on him. He's the biggest name. But instead, it occupies those four people, gives you a high-level match for Money in the Bank, in addition to the two ladder matches, which you know are going to be big stakes. So it kind of elevates that PLE a little bit, especially when you've got Worlds Collide just before it, that so you're hoping to capitalize on everyone watching.
Yeah. So yeah, it was... Yeah, we just said that. we just mentioned it. But yeah. It's a good show overall, Brent. General impressions.
I mean, Saturday Night's main event is never going to be, I would say, a big earth-shattering kind of event. It'll be something that'll entertain you for 2 hours. I think for things like the return of Cody and the return of Bronson Reed, it gives you that bit of unpredictability of like, okay, maybe I do need to tune into this in order to see, like, will someone come back that we don't expect? Will there be this big moment that it's like, I need to tune in to see? Or else, if you don't, you've missed it, and it's like, oh, shit. if they do a title change every now and then on a Saturday night's main event, would that also kind of make it a little bit more must-see? Sure. But I don't think there's going to be anything where it's just, like, earth-shattering.
Yeah.
But it's going to be entertaining for the 2 hours.
And they'll have high-profile enough matches on the show to carry.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. You had Seth, Braun, Punk, Zayn, your women's U.S. champion, Cena, Drew, Damian, Jey Uso. I mean, that's a pretty good roster that you had for this. It's not, for lack of a better term, Battle of the Belts.
No.
Which was another style, like, you know, television special. But with those, it was always like, oh, your AAA mega championship is on the line. And we all kind of went, who?
The world title's been online twice on these shows, I think, so far.
Yeah.
Gunther defended his belt. Jay defended it. So.
And then you had the WWE champion that he didn't defend the belt, but he was on the show in one of his final appearances.
They did use one of the final appearances, yeah. With all that said, Brent, housekeeping.
Housekeeping. So, as we talked about, it's not like there was a lot of earth-shattering decisions that went into this show. And these picks reflect it. In 10th place, going a whopping 0-5, the Magic 8-Ball.
Nice.
Had an off night. Just had an off night.
It got everything wrong.
That's surprising.
Because you would have figured at least one
would
have gone its way.
Yeah.
But instead, all of them were wrong. All alone in 9th place, going 3-2, so just over 500, the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks.
There you go.
Tied for third, we have the one and only Tim Stein, Keishi Matsunaga,
hey.
Sir Rockin, Lindsay Ward, Sarah, and the Magical Wheel of Fun.
The wheel did that well?
Yeah, the wheel went 4-1.
Wow.
The surprising thing is what I'm going to say next, if you've been paying attention. Tied for first place is myself and the X-Corps soldier himself, Subway, going 5-0.
Oh my god, the world is coming to an end.
And so is this show.
Way to be, Sub. Well, that's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our review of Saturday Night's Main Event. I hope you enjoyed Saturday Night's Main Event. If you watched it, if you didn't, get a replay, because it was worth watching. That being said, everything kicks off yet from the beginning one more time again, starting tomorrow night, immediately following Raw on Netflix.
It is a Raw post show live. Once Monday Night Raw ends, we'll talk all things Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and then Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward, joined by, well, your favorite producer.
It is me. We'll talk about Saturday night's main event and all news you can handle live this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack.
And then you guys do shit Saturday.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio. We're going to do something. Last night we did True or False on 90s music. We'll figure out something this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio to preview Money in the Bank.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're right back to another preview. We'll be doing that a lot.
Preview. The last two in next 2 weeks.
And into June, and it's the end of June, I think. There's probably going to be 1 week where we don't.
Can we take that week off?
We may. We'll see.
It all depends on what the hell happens. Yeah, you know, shit happens throughout the week. And to find out, check us out on the socials.
It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and the Twitters.
Did you say Twitters?
I did, Tim. You're on Twitter.
I am. Follow me at Blame Swarms, because I post almost as regularly. Actually, no, I post every single freaking day, unlike Cation. Sorry, Cation. That was a dig.
I mean, is it a dig if it's the truth?
Well, that's what I've always said about racism. But again, that's just me getting controversial for no good reason at all. Send your hate email to sirrockin@yahoo.com.
Do the complaint command in chat.
I'm not doing it.
It's either complaint or complain. I think it might be complain.
Yeah, I think it's complain.
Might be complain.
Yeah.
Exclamation
point complain.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it. I know.
I'm not going to do it.
Casey's on socials, so eventually.
I do have socials that exist. They are at Kyle Driver on most of them, with exception of probably some new ones, because I haven't gotten them for reasons that I don't know yet. We'll figure that out. But yeah, at Kyle Driver, at places, you can find tumbleweeds there.
There you go. Brent?
Yeah, you can find me across various social media at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That will be Twitter / X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, those fun things. And you can find me winning another challenge on CB Radio.
That's it. We're done. Tim, send us home.
Everybody, I hope y'all had a great week. And for you Americans, happy Memorial Day to all of you. It's your long weekend. We had ours last weekend with the Make You Four long weekend. Appropriately named because, you know, we get 24 cans of, or bottles of beer on that weekend. And that's why it's called the Make You Four weekend. That's not the truth. If you want the truth, Google it. That being said, go do something because we're out of here.
WildTalkRadio.com.